tonight being our last class, our exam, final exam, is going to be on two chapters. It's going to be on chapter 11 and chapters 11 and 12. Tonight we'll go over chapter 12, the lives of honorable men in the nations, because I think it's important that the last class, chapter 12, kind of pulls together everything we've been talking about, and from, and I'm encourage you to finish reading the book, but from that point on, the author will begin to get into specifics of alliances and how you can be effective. But tonight, we're going to make it through chapter 12, because I want to get through all the points that we have that he's pointed out in there. In this particular chapter, the author begins to really give an understanding of putting a mental attitude together with an alliance. And we're going to go over these few points in a moment, but I want to stress to you that an alliance is, once again, is not just happenstance. It's not casual. This is something that is serious. It is something that is meaningful to both parties. It's meaningful to God. And so an alliance is a coming together of energy, of faith, of grace, of mercy, of giftings, of talents. Are you getting this? And so the author does an excellent job in putting this together. Firstly, it says on page 135, in an alliance partnership, we need those who will be in covenant with us. So in other words, the author is talking from, well, we know who the author is, Jonathan David. He's an apostle. He has an alliance called Isaac. Of course, you've read that and you've probably ran across that. But I want you to picture yourself with your spiritual leader. All right, so as we read this, that's what I want you to picture yourself with your spiritual leader. So he says this. He says, firstly, in alliance partnership, we need those who will be in covenant with us. This is why I talked about covenant so much, because the first step of an alliance, it has to be covenant-based. If it's not covenant-based, it will not last and it will not be effective. Covenant-based, meaning I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to put others before myself. I'm willing to give up some things that I might have wanted in order to achieve a greater good. Are you seeing this? And so an alliance cannot be effective without covenant being its base. Covenant relationships, watch what covenant relationship does. It removes the seed of selfishness that is the root of all behavioral disorders and mischief. That's on page 135 in the second full paragraph. Covenant relationship removes the seed of selfishness that is the root of all behavioral disorders and mischiefs. Are you seeing this? So covenant forces you to think of somebody else besides yourself. Many times, once again, this is why I begin to stress so much about you having a self-centric view versus a God-centric view. When you have a God-centric view, meaning God is the central of why we live, in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being, when we do that, it puts God at the forefront. Now, it's wonderful that we put God at the forefront, because when we put God at the forefront, it allows him to put us to his forefront. Now, I'd much rather be in his forefront than my own forefront. There's only so many things I can do. God can do so much more. And so when we have a God-centric view of our Christian walk, it puts God in the central focus, and it allows us to, it allows him to reach inside of us and pull out of us everything that he has in there stored up. You can't pull your own talents and gifts out. Only God himself can do that. And so when you have a God-centric view, God, I want my life to be dedicated to you. Not just by my behavior, not by just me living right. God, I want to be used by you. Because I'm living right, God, now you have a right to use me as you want in the kingdom. Are you seeing this? See, one of the things that we as Christians, we don't really grab hold of is holiness is an avenue for God to touch other people. Holiness in our lives is an avenue for God to touch other people. Holiness in our lives gives confidence to other people that when we speak into their lives, they hear what we say. When we reach out to people, because they see God working in our lives, how God has changed our lives, then they're more apt to hear what we're saying. We have too many people in the body of Christ that's with this, do as I say, not as I do. And so when that happens, covenant cannot take place, because I'm not willing to give up something for you, and you haven't proven that you're willing to give it up. Is that making sense? Number two, an alliance partnership, we need those who will go out into battle for us. So are you willing to go to battle for your leader? That's the question. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to use your talents and your strengths, your giftings, your grace, what God has blessed you with, for your leader? When you do that, when you put yourself in a position to go to battle for your leader, what you're saying is, God, I'm going to battle for you. Because watch this. Watch how this fits together. God is not going to connect you to somebody who he don't trust. God is never, listen to me, this is you. God is never going to speak to you until you get connected to somebody who he doesn't trust. So therefore, that's why we can't choose our leaders based on charisma. We can't choose our leaders based on crowds. We can't choose our leader based on how well they speak, how well they carry themselves, how they look. We must solely be connected by the voice of God. And when you're connected because of the voice of God, then you're able to go to battle for someone because you know God trusts them. There's a paradox in those who are genuinely interested to stand with us in the front lines of the battle, but who are unable to do so because they have been displaced by personal battle and spiritual challenges of their own. This is why, go to Matthew 6 chapter. This is why it's so important that you grasp this concept of what Jesus was really saying in the 6th chapter of Matthew, and not to try to take it and literally try to interpret it or try to define it, but actually understanding the gist of what Jesus is saying. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, wherefore if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, how unimportant grass is. I cut grass every week. It grow every week. I cut it. And here Jesus saying, wherefore if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Are you seeing this? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. So here we are, apostle, last class, begin to talk about the soul. That is where Satan will try to distract you from accomplishing what God has called you to do. This is where Satan will cause you things to come up. How many times when, just very simple, when you get ready to say, I'm about to go study the Word of God, some start coming up. I'm about to take time to go study the Word of God, somebody call. I'm about to go read this particular book that I know that God has been wanting me to read. Something come up. That's minor instances of what Satan is trying to do in our lives. You must have, this is why you have to renew your mind with the Word of God. Not only, watch this, not only renew your mind with the Logos, but you have to renew your mind with what God has said to you. That's one of the things that we that Christians don't understand. You have to remind yourself about what God has spoken to you. It will refresh your mind. It will refresh your soul. It will cause you to be accountable to what God has called you to do. So when you're renewing your mind and you're renewing your soul, therefore, there is nothing that can get into your way that will stop you from doing what God has called you to do. There are times when I had incidents in my life where things would come in and would try to detour me from doing what God is asking me to do, try to distract me. No, that has happened. It can happen. I can't change it. Nothing I can do about it. Let it happen. I'm going on with God. And what I find is that all the time, not most, all the time, God comes back around and take care of the situation for me. Go to Romans 8:28. Very familiar scripture. This is very powerful. Romans 8:28. I want you to see this scripture, and I want you to see it from a standpoint you'll never forget this verse. This is Apostle Paul talking. The Apostle Paul says this, "And we know that all things work together for what? Good. Not bad, not average, but good." Meaning the outcome is going to be favorable. "And we know that all things work together for good to specific people." Not just, everybody can't read this scripture. Everybody can't have the results of this scripture. It's to a specific people. Watch this. Who are the specific people? To them that what? Love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. That is talking to people who are called on assignment for God. When God has connected you to your spiritual leader, God is saying, "I'm giving you an opportunity to get all your problems solved. I'm giving you an opportunity. Listen to me, internet. I'm giving you an opportunity for everything that was not going right in your life to be straightened out by me." Notice what it says. It says, "And we know that all things, not some things, not every other thing, everything, everything. Nothing is everything. Anything that attaches itself to you that doesn't work out in your favor, God will turn it into your favor. Why? Because you love him. Love, watch this. Love is not just a feeling. Love is an action. If you love me, keep my commandments." Didn't he say that, John, or the 14th chapter? Didn't he say that? "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I said." Mary said this. He said it best. "Whatever he says to you," John 2:5, "whatever he says to you," what?
"Do it."
"Do it." So therefore, whenever, and Satan is a master at trying to cause distractions and diversions. So every time you get ready to do something for God, he will bring up a distraction. Oh, he will do it. Every time. But when you decide that I'm going with God no matter what, what Satan don't realize is you just opened the door for God to come take care of your situation for you. Watch this. Watch what he said. He says, "And all things." You see this? All things, not some things, but all things work together for good. So that means that word all together works together. We talk about it, synergeo. Synergy means whatever bad happens and whatever good happens works together to come out for your good. So to watch this. The good that I do, what God is asking me to do, will always outweigh what Satan is trying to do in my life. So now, when we go back to Matthew, the 6th chapter, you say, which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? All Jesus is saying is, which one of you, by taking thought, can change your situation? None of us can. Because if we could have changed the situation, we'd have stopped it. So what the situation is a distraction from what God really wants us to do. So we have to, that's why the renewing, listen to me, the renewing of the soul is important. Because when your mind is renewed, you don't conform to what's happening. You transform. You may, I can't believe she's acting like that. Does she see what's happening to her? I can't believe he's behaving. Does he know what's going on in his life? Does he see the calamity that's happening around his life? But yet he stays focused on what God is asking him to do. She stays focused on what God is asking her to do. And it opens the door. Listen, there's not one time in my life that calamity has tried to come in and hit me, and I stay focused on what God is telling me to do. God comes in and take care of the situation every time. There's not been one time. I've seen it happen in his ministry, seen it happen in my personal life. When you focus on what God wants you to do and not try to take the word of God to fix your problems. See, when you take the word of God and try to fix your problems, that becomes a self-centric view of God. A self-centric view of the Bible. I'm trying to take the word of God and fix my problem. That ain't what God said. He said, take the word and learn of me. Go to Matthew's 11th chapter. See, we're talking about, you have to understand when we talk about alliances, because when you start talking about going to battle for somebody else, the first thing that crosses your mind is, well, who's going to take care of my stuff? When you start talking about covenant and talking about the spirit of sacrifice, you start saying, well, who's going to take care of my stuff? Well, here Jesus told us in the 6th chapter who's going to take care of our stuff. Are you seeing this? Watch this, Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, the 11th chapter, 28th verse. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right? This is what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest for what? Your spirits. No. Rest for your soul. Why did he say? For what? Verse 30, my what? And my? So all Jesus is saying in that 11th chapter is, listen, just do what I'm asking you to do. You do what I'm asking you to do, and I'm going to take care of everything else for you. I'm going to take care of all things work together for the good for them who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you don't ever have to worry about, well, I'm doing all this serving. What about me? No, God is going to take care. God is taking care of you. God is going to do everything that you want, need, and desire. He says in Matthew 6 chapter 32nd verse, he knows we have need of all these things. So therefore, I have to, now, you have to make this decision. You have to, that's why you have to renew your mind. When you renew your mind with the word of God, the more and more you read the word of God, the more confidence you get. The more God can reveal himself to you. The more God can become real to you. The more God can become expanded in your life when you renew your mind with the word of God. See, your spirit, as Apostle said, your spirit is fully charged, fully loaded, fully matured, fully maxed out. How can you make a person rich who already rich? I don't know if y'all caught that statement. How can you make somebody a millionaire who already? So what is left behind? Our mind. Our mind is left behind. So when we renew our mind, we become conformed, we become transformed. If you don't renew your mind, you're going to conform. So what's that saying? When you don't renew your mind, you're going to succumb to your situation. When you succumb to your situation, then you become preoccupied to where you can't do what God has asked you to do. That's what Satan won't get you. When you become preoccupied with your situation, with your troubles, with your insecurities, when you become preoccupied with those things, that's what Satan wants you, because now you can't hear God. Because you're so concerned about what God gonna do for you. And therefore, you can't ever get Galatians 6 and 7 to work in your life. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So God is just putting us in a position. When he connects you to your man or woman of God, he put you in a position to do something that gives him permission. See, listen, God can't come in the earth realm until one of us give him permission. He can't come here and do nothing until one of us give him permission. God will not override your will. He will not override what you desire. So he cannot come into the earth realm. That's why Jesus had to become flesh. God just couldn't come here just down a cross in the spirit. Because the law wasn't broken in the spirit. It was broken in the flesh. So Jesus had to become flesh. So that means if God want to change anything in the earth realm, we got to give him permission to come here. And the way we give God permission to come and work on our behalf is when we hear his voice and do what he's asking us to do for him. One more scripture, Hebrews 11th chapter. We started with this scripture, and I want to end with this scripture because this is very important. Hebrews 11th chapter. So our connection to our spiritual leaders, to our pastors, to who God has connected us to, he's putting us in a position so that doors can be opened that would not ordinarily be opened. Mamre Esco and I can't pronounce the last one, they went to war with Abraham. Now, when they went to war with Abraham, they went to war with Abraham for his agenda. They went to war with Abraham. Matter of fact, Abraham gave them some of his men. They had authority over his men, Abraham's men, but they had authority and they did not abuse it. They only used that authority to benefit Abraham's agenda. At the end of the day, you saw what happened to them. Them kings tried to give Abraham some stuff. Abraham said, nope, I'm not taking it because I don't want y'all to say y'all made me rich. He said, but these men give them give them their portion. And they were able to benefit from what Abraham was going to benefit from because they helped him with his agenda. The same thing happens to us when we help our spiritual leaders when we go to battle for them. We have a right to the spoils of everybody in 2 Chronicles 20:20 that sang praises to God like Jehoshaphat said. They were 3 days in gathering the spoils. They had a right to go gather spoils because they went to battle. Is this making sense? There'll be doors that are open for you that won't open for nobody else. Things that other people try, some of your peers will try some things on your jobs, in your neighborhood, family members will try some things, and it won't work, but when you go to do it, it works. When you go to do it, the door's open. Why? Because you got a force pushing behind you. Why? Because you've done what God has asked you to do. You're doing what God has asked you to do. So therefore, all things work together for the good, for them who love God and call to his purpose. Hebrews 11th chapter. Watch this, and we're closing with this one. Never again, I stressed it at the beginning of our class, at the beginning when we started, at the beginning of the year, and I want to stress it again, never see this scripture from a self-centered point of view again. This scripture is not about you, it's about God. Hebrews 11 and 1. This scripture is not about you, it's about God. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now my assignment is the reality, it brings to reality the dreams of God. That's hoped for, the dreams of God. My assignment brings to reality the dreams of God and is the evidence of my reward. I want you to see that. When God speaks to me, that's why when you go to God, you go to talk to God. Don't just look for an answer to your situation. God, what do you want from me? Period. Because when you find out what God wants for you, from you, then God is obligated to do whatever it takes to make you free. Ye shall know the what? Truth, and what's going to happen? Truth will set you free. That's all the truth is knowing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's going to make you free. You're not going to have anything holding you back. And it's so, this is why God put the apostolic in place, so that we don't have to go around trying to figure it out, trying to search for it, trying to travel all over, trying to figure out what God wants from us. When God is, chain reaction, when God connects me to my, when God connected me to my man of God, it's simple now. Obviously, God wants me to hear what he's saying, she's saying, because from what they're saying, it's going to be unfolded in my life. So as my life is unfolding, I'm able to walk my life out. I'm able to do what God has asked me to do. That opens the door for God to come do for me what I, all my dreams, desires, and what I want. This ain't about to be rocket science. We ain't about to make this harder than what it really is. When God connects me to somebody, it gives me an ear to what God is saying. When I know what God is saying, all these things shall be added unto me. Y'all have a good night. Indefinitely. We leave them up, and we will not, you still roll or you stopped it? You still, those MP3s, all of possible MP3s from these classes, from these, will be up indefinitely. Once we remove them, if we remove them from the site that we've been on, we'll put them on a page where you can always access them. So it'll be indefinite, you have access to them. All right? And so you can download them when you get ready. Certain classes that God spoke to you in one of the instructors, you want to listen to it again, you have access to it. So we ain't shutting it down. You have access to it as long as you want. All right? Y'all have a good night.